In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. This is a live broadcast in Boston. I wanted to remember what had happened. Peter and some of the apostles were preaching in the name of Jesus, and they were told not to. And so they put them in jail. But an angel of the Lord came. An angel of the Lord opened the door for them. And they went back preaching the word of God. Then someone arrived, this is 6:25 of Acts, and announced, "Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Would that we do the same thing." Would that we do the same thing, to preach the word of God in season and out of season, that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. Then the captain went with the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. Why? Because people were being healed and delivered by the power of God. That's why they went to the apostles. Jesus said, "You're going to do the same things that I did, and even greater still will you do." When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name." But you see, the name of God, the name of Jesus, burns within the heart of the evangelist. Yet, here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by having him hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So yes, first of all, the gospel was proclaimed to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. That Jesus, his blood, had brought forgiveness of sins to Israel. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Today, the gospel at Mass was, "I do not give my Holy Spirit in any measure. I give the Holy Spirit in fullness, not in a measure." How we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need today. That's what I've been praying for. The fullness of the Holy Spirit. Not any measure. God doesn't give the Spirit in measure, but he gives the Spirit in fullness. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them, the apostles. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put aside for a short time. Gamaliel is the one who taught Paul, who taught Saul. Oh yes, great teacher of Israel. And you know, he comes up with what's needed to be heard at this point. Then Gamaliel said to them, "Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thutis arose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. But he was killed, and all those who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. Yes, he wasn't anything. After he died, his followers left. That was happening in Emmaus. But Jesus revealed the word and the sacrament to those people, those two people, Clopas and whoever the other person was. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, the case about Jesus, the case about his cross, the case about his resurrection, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is human, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be found fighting against God. Well, it's all against, it was God who raised up Jesus, the Holy Spirit who raised up Jesus. They were convinced by Gamaliel, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. They had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer persecution and dishonor for the sake of the name. Who is the name? His name is Jesus. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one's going to stop them from preaching Jesus. No flogging, no jail, no anything. They were going to continue to preach in the name of Jesus. Acts 6, verse 7. The word of God continued to spread. The number of disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. I tell you, if you get after the priests, you know it's a miracle. Oh, yes. You know it's a miracle if the priests are converted. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a priest, and by God's grace, I have experienced the risen Lord. He has changed my life. This happened before I was a priest, and I still believe and know that Jesus is worthy to be preached, and Jesus is worthy to be proclaimed, and that no one can stop me from preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 6, verse 8. Stephen, full of grace and power, did wonders and signs among the people. This is interesting, because Stephen was ordained to wait on table. When the Holy Spirit in fullness came upon Stephen, he did signs and wonders among the people. I'm asking the question again, who ends up waiting on tables? Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, Cyprians, Alexandrians, and others, and those from Cilicia and Asia, stood up and argued with Stephen, arguing with the man of God. But they have no power over the man of God. Why? Because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. They could not withstand it because he proclaimed Jesus and he knew of the resurrection. He experienced the resurrection. He experienced Pentecost. Then they secretly instigated some men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." Lies. Lies. They stirred up the people as well as the elders and the scribes. Then they suddenly confronted Stephen, seized him, and brought him before the council.
they're going to tell Stephen, you're not going to preach in that name anymore. Stephen's going to say, excuse me, I'm going to preach in the name of Jesus, because he is the Lord. He is the Messiah. They set up false witnesses who said, Stephen, this man, never stopped saying things against this holy place, the temple, and the law. That's lies. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses handed on to us. These are lies. These are lies. And all who sat in the council looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. He glowed with the Spirit of God. Now Stephen's going to preach, and he's going to really tell us about from Abraham unto Jesus, the history of Israel. Then the high priest asked Stephen, are these things so? And Stephen replied, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our ancestor Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran, and said to Abraham, leave your country and your relatives and go to the land that I will show you. And what does it say in Genesis? And Abraham went. He went. No questions. The power of God was on him. He experienced the living God. And Abram went. Then he left the country of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After his father died, God laid him move from there to this country in which you are now living. That's Israel. He did not give him any of it as a heritage, but even a not even a foot's length, but he promised to give it to him as his possession and to his descendants, the Jews after him, even though he had no child. And God spoke in these terms that his descendants would be resident aliens in the country belonging to others, who would enslave them and mistreat them during the 400 years. But I will judge that nation that they serve, said God. And after that, they shall come out and worship me in this place. Where? In Jerusalem. Then he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Isaac became the father of Jacob. And Jacob, one of the 12 patriarchs, had 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's sons. The patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with Joseph and rescued him from all his afflictions. I tell you, Joseph knew God, and God was with Joseph, even though he was put in prison because a woman said he tried to have sex with her, and that was a lie. That was Potiphar's wife. She wanted him. She wanted Joseph, but Joseph said no. And he rescued him from all his afflictions and enabled him to, with favor, to show wisdom when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who anointed him ruler over Egypt. Yes, we're going through the history of salvation. Joseph becomes the ruler of Israel, like the governor, and over all his household, over the household of the Pharaoh. Now there came a famine throughout Egypt and Canaan, or Israel, and great sufferings,
and our ancestors could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our ancestors there on their first visit.
Yes, so that they could get food for Jacob and his descendants.
On the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers. Remember, the brothers wanted Joseph's death because they were jealous of him. And Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent and invited his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to him, 75 in all. So Jacob went down to Egypt. He himself died there, as well as our ancestors, and their bodies were brought back to Shechem and laid in a tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem.
It's the history, the saving history of Israel.
But as the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise, that's Jesus, that God had made to Abraham, our people in Egypt increased and multiplied until another king who had not known Joseph ruled over Egypt. He dealt craftily with our race and forced our ancestors to abandon their infants so that they would die. At this time, Moses was born, and he was beautiful before God. For 3 months, he was brought up in his father's house, and when he was abandoned, Pharaoh's daughter adopted Moses and brought him up as her own son. The history of Israel. So Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in his words and in his deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his relatives, the Israelites. When he saw one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking him down, the Egyptian that he supposed. He supposed that his kinsmen would understand that God through him was rescuing them, but they did not understand. The next day he came to some of them as they were quarreling and tried to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor pushed Moses aside, saying, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, Moses fled and became a resident alien in the land of Midian. There he became the father of 2 sons.
Oh, yes. And where did he go in the land of Midian? And what happened? There was Jethro, the priest, not a priest according to Israel, the priest, and he married one of Jethro's daughters.
Now, when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, this is Moses, in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. And as he approached to look, there came a voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." You see, there is a line that goes through of descendants. Who is this God that came through the burning bush? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses began to tremble and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground."
It's the presence of God.
Presence of God. "I have surely seen
the mistreatment of my people, God says, who are in Egypt and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to rescue them. God hears your groaning today. God hears your pain today. God wants to help you today. Oh yes, He hears our pain. He hears our groaning. He hears our suffering, and He wants to touch us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come now, I will send you to Egypt. It was this Moses whom they rejected when they said, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" And to whom God now sent as both ruler and liberator through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out, having performed wonders and signs, Moses did, in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is Moses who said to the Israelites, "God will raise up a prophet for you from your own people, as He raised me up. He is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with our ancestors, and he received living oracles to give to us." Moses said that there was going to be another prophet even greater than him. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Our ancestors were unwilling to obey God. Instead, they pushed him aside, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron the priest, "Make gods for us who will lead the way for us." For this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. He was up in the mountain talking to God. At that time, they made a calf and offered a sacrifice to the idol and reveled in the works of their hands. They said that this golden calf led them out of Egypt. They're lying. It was God. But God turned away from them and handed them over to the worship of the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, "Did you offer to me slain victims and sacrifices 40 years in the wilderness?" No, not at all. "O house of Israel, no, you took along the tent of Moloch." And Moloch was the god that they offered their firstborn to. Oh yes, it's what happens in the abortion mills. Moloch, our God is the God of convenience, and the star of your God, Raphan, the images that you made to worship. So I will remove you beyond Babylon, and we'll continue with that tomorrow. I want to tell you today that God is wonderful, that He keeps His promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and especially to Jesus. Jesus is the very Son of the living God. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the prophet that Moses preached about, that he would see the prophet come. Greater than Moses, I tell you, Jesus is not only a prophet, He's God and He's man, true God and true man. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, Laetare, Laetare, rejoice. Alleluia. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, Laetare, Laetare, Alleluia. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.